The seventh parak deals exclusively with the halachas of the gid hanasha, which is the sciatic nerve, which is prohibited for Klal Yisrael to eat. As is known historically, when Yaakov Avinu had his wrestling match with the angel, which was really the Tsar of Esav, the nemesis to Klal Yisrael, that was the angel of Esav. They wrestled all night, and then the angel dislocated Yaakov Avinu's socket of his hip. And the pasuk tells us then at that point, al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael esgid hanasha asher al kaf hayarech. Accordingly, Klal Yisrael is prohibited to eat the gid hanasha, the sciatic nerve, which is on the kaf hayarech. The yarech is the thigh, and the kaf is like literally a spoon. And we will get into this a little bit, what that means. So that's the source for the prohibition of eating the gid hanasha. And we will be discussing the halachas throughout this parak. Mishnah Aleph starts as follows. Gid hanasha noheg ba'aretz uvachutzal aretz. The prohibition of eating the sciatic nerve applies whether in the land of Israel or outside the land of Israel, bifnei habayis v'shelo bifnei habayis, whether we have a beis hamikdash or we don't have a beis hamikdash, b'chulin uv'mukdash, and it applies to animals we shech that aren't for korbanos, and it even applies to korbanos as well, and that means before anyone would be able to eat the meat of a korban, for example, a shlamim, you have to make sure the gid hanasha is removed, and even those that are not eaten, for example, a korban ola, the gid hanasha would have to be removed before the meat was put onto the mizbeach. The noheg b'behema uvachai, it's noheg when it comes to a behema, which is a domesticated animal, a chaya non-domesticated animal, b'yarech shel yamin uv'yarech shel smol, it applies both to the thigh on the right side of the animal and the thigh on the left side of the animal. V'eino noheg ba'ov, however, it does not apply to a bird. The sciatic nerve does not need to be removed from the birds. Why? Because mipnei she'ein lo kaf, because it doesn't have literally a kaf, it doesn't have that spoon. And what that means is as follows, that it has a different structure of the thigh, that it doesn't have, when it comes to the socket of the hip, it doesn't have what looks like a spoon on top of it, in that shape, a spoon-shaped thigh. People have that. Animals have that, but birds have a different shape on their thighs. And the pasuk said explicitly that it applies. You can't eat the gid hanasha asher al kaf hayarech. That is literally on the spoon. It's the shape of a spoon on the thigh. If a bird doesn't have that shape, it doesn't apply. There's no prohibition of gid hanasha. And no heg b'shlil. It does apply when we are talking about a fetus. What's going on here is that it's talking about if we have a 9-month-old fetus. We saw machlokis previously. And the view of Rebbe Meir is that when you have a full-term calf and you do shchita on the mother, that because that calf on the inside, it hasn't been born yet, that fetus is full term, it's viewed as its own independent animal. It can survive and live by itself. Accordingly, the shechita on the mother does not absolve that 9-month-old fetus from shechita. It needs its own shechita. So too, this is the shechita of Rebbe Meir, who said requires shechita on a fetus. So too here, v'noheg b'shalil, the isra of gid hanasha, even though that fetus, because it was 9 months, it was full term, because that fetus, that unborn fetus, it requires its own shechita, it's viewed as independent, so too, the prohibition of gid hanasha will apply to it as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, enoneg b'shalil, Rabbi Yehuda is of the view that the shechita of the mother does absolve the fetus, even though it's full term. It is not viewed as independent. It's not born. As long as it's not born, it doesn't matter. That accordingly, the mother shechita will absolve it from shechita. It doesn't need its own independent shechita. And accordingly, the shechita on the mother will take care of the prohibition of gid hanasha. So eino noeg b'shlil means there is going to be no prohibition of gid hanasha for that fetus. V'chelbo mutar, and in addition, it's chelev is mutar. So what is this referring to? Is this referring to the shlil, the fetus that we talked about? Is this referring to the gid hanasha? So in fact, there are two views what's going on here. If we look over to the Bar Tanura, he says as follows, v'chelbo shel shlil mutar, when you do shchita and you have, even though it's a full term, a fetus, 9-month-old fetus, that calf, nonetheless, the chelev, which is typically prohibited fat, is going to be mutter for that shlil, because the shechita on the mother It permits it. It permits. There's no violation of Gita Nasha, eating the Gita Nasha. There is also no prohibition of eating its chaylev. That is one view how it's read. And then the Bar Tanur continues, Perush Acher, different explanations of the chelba. He's talking about the chaylev, not of the shlil, but it's going back to prior to our discussion of the shlil. It's talking about the fat that is on the git of nasha. And it's telling us that even though the git ha-nasha, the sciatic nerve, that sinew, has to be removed, but the fat on top of the git ha-nasha is not going to be prohibited on a d'oraisa level. Nonetheless, Klal Yisrael is machmir and doesn't eat that chaylev on top of the git ha-nasha, but mi'ikar din is not prohibited. Ve'ein ha-tabachi ne'emanim al git ha-nasha, divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir is of the view that because the entire git ha-nasha has to be removed, and we'll discuss this in next mishnah, how much has to be removed, but Rebbe Meir is of the view the entire thing has to be removed. It's a lot of work, very burdensome, very technical, removing the sciatic nerve. Accordingly, the butcher is not going to be believed to say that he took it out. You're going to have to do your own bedika. You're going to have to do your own check to make sure that the gid hanasha has been fully removed. The chachamim omrim, chachamim, on the other hand, are of the view, ne'emanim alav va'al hachelev. The butcher is believed. If he says he removes the gid hanasha, he is believable. And also, if he says that he removed the prohibited chelev fats, we are going to believe him as well on that. Mishnah Beis deals with an interesting question. Can you send a thigh of an animal that the Gid Hanasha has not been removed? Can you send it to a non-Jew? They do not have a prohibition of eating the Gid Hanasha. But the concern that we want to address here is, how about if they receive it from a Jew? Is there a concern they're going to sell it to a different Jew, and that other Jew, knowing that that Gid Hanasha originated from a Jew, is going to think that the Gid Hanasha was removed? So, Sholeach Adam Yarech Lenochri Shegid Hanasha Besocho. It's not a problem. We don't have to be concerned. It's permitted for Jew A to send that thigh to the non-Jew, and the Gid Hanasha is inside of it. It has not been removed. Why? Mimneshe Mekomo Nikar. Because it's a full Gid Hanasha. We would see if it has been removed or not. If it has been removed, we would see that surgery was done on it. Accordingly, if it looks full, we can see that nothing was removed. So the second Jew who may purchase that piece of meat from the non-Jew is going to know the Gid Hanasha is still intact. We're talking about when all the butchers are Jewish in a given area, so we're not talking about a kashrus issue. We know that the meat is kosher. We're just talking about being concerned that the Jew who purchases it may eat the Gid Hanasha, but because he sees that it's all intact, he knows the Gid Hanasha was not removed, there was no surgery done on this piece of meat, on the thigh, and accordingly, we're not concerned sending it to the non-Jew. Hanota Gid Hanasha. So when you're removing the Gid Hanasha, it has to be by an expert, somebody who's trained in it. How much has to be removed? So we have a machlokis in this. Tzarech Shiito Leskula. The entire thing, says the Tanakama, has to be removed. What is on the surface, when it's deep in, it all has to be removed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kedei Lekayim Bo Mitzvos Netila. You just have to remove enough of it in order to fulfill the requirement of the mitzvah of removal. That means only parts on the surface, but when it goes below the surface and deep down, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would not have to be removed. Mishnah Gimel gets into how much of the Gid Hanasha has to be eaten in order to violate the prohibition and receive lashes for that violation. So that's one of the topics we're going to talk about in Mishnah Gimel. Ha'ochel mi Gid Hanasha kezayis. If you eat from the Gid Hanasha a kezayis, an olives amount, sofeg arbaim, that is a law, and the person would receive lashes for eating that Gid Hanasha. Achalov ein bo kezayis. What happens if you eat the full thing, the entire Gid Hanasha, but it comes from a very small animal, so there is not a kezayis. So on the one hand, you ate the whole thing, but there's not a kezayis chayav, you're going to be chayav in malchus. This is built on the concept of when you have something that is a birya, which is a full item, even if it's less than the typical amount, it's less than a kezayis, it is still considered as if you have still violated the full prohibition, and you would be chayav malchus. Achal mizeh kezayis u'mizeh kezayis. What happens if you ate from the right thigh a kezayis, and also from the left thigh a second kezayis? Sofek shmonim, you would be receiving two times lashes, so 80. And what this is teaching us is that the prohibition of Gita Nasha applies on each of the thighs, both on the right side and the left side. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in a Sofek Ela Arbaim, you would only receive lashes once. And that's because Rabbi Yehuda is of the view that the full prohibition of Gita Nasha applies only on the right thigh and not the left thigh. So accordingly, if somebody ate the Gita Nasha from each of them, there's only a Chiyuv Malkus on having eaten the right, but not the left. Mishnah Dalet and thereafter Mishnah Hey discuss if we had a Gita Nasha, which is prohibited by definition, and it was cooked together with, for example, meat that is otherwise permitted, at what point would we say that the Gita itself that's prohibited makes the combination prohibited as well? So typically we say ta'am ki'ikar. If the prohibited food passes over ta'am, its taste, to the permitted food, then it would be as if ta'am ki'ikar, it's as if not only is the taste in the permitted food, but it's like the treif is in the permitted food as well. So it prohibits the entire combination when we have that transference of ta'am. However, at a certain point, we say that there is so much permitted food. If we have so much more permitted food than the prohibited, we're going to say that the prohibited taste is batal. It's going to be nullified and the combination is going to be permitted. So typically our proxy for that is shishim. We use 60 times. If there's 60 times more kosher than treif, then it's going to be permitted. So Mishnah Dalet says as follows, Yarech shenispashal ba'gita nasha, if we have the entire thigh, and it was cooked together, the Gita Nasha was on the inside of it. Im yeshba benosein tam areza asura. If there's enough that the Gita Nasha would give ta'am to the meat, which means that we have enough of the ghee that given the amount of kosher, so we're going to look at how much do we have prohibited versus kosher. We'll explain this shortly. We're going to look at, for example, the percentages, the amounts. Typically, would there be enough ta'am, enough of the ghee, the amount of the Gita Nasha, to transfer its ta'am into the permitted meat? Then it's going to be prohibited. So how do we gear something like that? So that's what the Mishnah asks. Ketzad misharino. So how do we measure such a thing? If there was enough of the Gita Nasha to transfer tam into the amount of kosher meat that we had. So we look at it like this. Kebasar belafes. We look at it as if it is meat and a turnip. What does that mean? So it means as follows. We look at the amount of the Gita Nasha as if it is meat. It's the amount of meat. So we have the amount of Gita Nasha, let's say 5 grams, 10 grams, I have no clue. And we look at it as if we're having 10 grams of meat. And we also look at the permitted meat as if it is a turnip. So how much permitted meat do we have? 100 grams, whatever. And we look at it as if we have 100 grams of turnip. And we look at it and compare them. And when the meat in the amount of the ghid, so if we have the ghid amount, would be able to give ta'am to that turnip, in the amounts, in the respective amounts, at that point we would say, if the ghid can give ta'am to a turnip, in the amount of the kosher meat we have, so too that ghid hanasha can give ta'am to the kosher meat, and it would be prohibited. However, if the Gita Nasha is not going to be able to transfer tam to the amount of turnip that we have equal to the kosher meat, then we're going to say that it is going to be permitted because there was no transference of tam. There was more kosher food than the treif food could transfer to, and accordingly, the treif food is going to be mivutal. It's going to be nullified. Mishnah Hey is going to continue the conversation of cooking the Gita Nasha with things that are permitted. And now we're going to talk in particular about cooking that Gita Nasha, that sinew, the sciatic nerve, together with other sinews, but these are permitted sinews. Gita Nasha shenisbash alima gidim, if we cook the Gita Nasha together with permitted sinews. So now we're going to divide up. Do we know which is which? Do we know which is the Gita Nasha? Or do we not know which is the Gita Nasha? Bizman shemakiro, if it's a situation that I do recognize which is the Gita Nasha, accordingly, there's no concern of my eating the Gita Nasha. I'm just going to take out the Gita Nasha, and the other gidim that are remaining are going to be the originally at least permitted sinews. Then all I have to worry about is when I cooked it, was there ta'am? Was there a transference of the taste from the Gita Nasha to the other gidim? If there was a transference of taste, ta'am, then those otherwise permitted sinews are going to now be prohibited. Otherwise, they're going to be permitted. So, ben no saint ta'am, we just have to look whether was there a transference of ta'am from the Gita Nasha or not. And our proxy for that is do we have 60 times more permitted versus the prohibited? So if you have 60 times, at least 60 times more shishim versus the prohibited, then it's going to be mutter. Otherwise, it's not going to be mutter. We're going to assume that there was a transference of time. Vim lav. On the other hand, if not, if I don't know which of the sinews was the gid hanasha, so now we have a concern that any sinew that I eat may be the one from the gid hanasha. Accordingly, kulam asurim, all of them are going to be prohibited, and the Bartanur explains why. Each one I eat, we have a concern that's going to be a gid hanasha, because I don't know which is which. And we don't say it's batel barov. Oftentimes we would say batel barov, it's notified with the majority, so I had only one gid hanasha, one sinew from that, and many others. We're not going to say that, because again, we're going back to the concept of it's a birya. It's viewed as its own independent creation. And when we have a birya, we say it's not batal, so we can never be mevatal accordingly that gid hanasha with these other gidim that we have. If we don't know which one it is, we're concerned each one is the gid hanasha, and the entire mixture is going to be prohibited. And how about when it comes to vaharotev, even in the situation that I don't know which is the gid hanasha, so I can't eat any of the sinews, but how about the soup, the gravy that's there, that's left over, that they were all cooked in? So there, we're going to revert to Beno Saint Tom. Do we have 60 times more permitted versus what was prohibited? And if we have 60 times more permitted, then we're going to say that it is a batal b'shishim, the prohibited taste would be batal b'shishim, and accordingly, it's going to be permitted to eat specifically that gravy. And the same thing applies, v'chein chaticha shel nevela, v'chein chaticha shel dag tameh, if we had a piece of treif meat. And they from a nevela, kosher animal, unkosher shchita, so it's treif meat, it's a nevela. Oh, we had a piece of fish from a treif fish, and it got mixed together each. The nevela got mixed in with kosher meat, or that treif fish piece got mixed in with kosher fish. Shnitmashulim hachatichos, they got mixed together and got cooked with the kosher ones. So we're going to divide up now again. Do I know which one? Can I recognize the one that is from the nevela or from the treif fish? Or can I not recognize which it is? B'man shemakirin, if I can recognize the treif, pluck it out. And accordingly, all I'll have to worry about is it a tam? Is there been no saint tam? Was there a tam transferred from the treif piece to the kosher pieces? If there was a tam that was transferred, then I cannot eat any of the mixture. However, if there was no tam that transferred, and we can use 60 again as our proxy, is there 60 times more kosher than treif? If we have more than 60 times kosher than treif, then we're going to say there's no saint tam. It's going to be permitted. Otherwise, it's going to be prohibited. Vim lav. However, if we don't have, if we don't know which is the treif ones, we don't know which was the treif piece from the nevela or the treif fish piece, so I can't decide which is which. I can't distinguish which is which. Kulam asuras, they're all going to be prohibited again because it's going to have the status of a birya. The concern here is each one I eat may be the treif one, and a birya, when it has its own, its whole piece, it's all considered its own creature. Accordingly, we say it's not betela. We can't nullify it. On the other hand, even in the situation when we cannot tell which is the treif one, so the whole mixture of the pieces is going to be prohibited because I never know if I'm eating a kosher one or a treif one. How about the gravy, the sauce, the soup that it was made in? So the liquid, v'harotev benosin tam, when it comes to the rotev, then again, we're going to use a no saint tam. If there's more than 60, if there's shishim or more, that is kosher, then we're going to say it's batal b'shishim. The treif is going to be batal b'shishim, and we'd be able to eat the rotav, but not the pieces themselves when we can't distinguish between them. Mishnah Vav has an interesting discussion. Does the prohibition of gid hanasha apply only to kosher animals or also non-kosher animals? Meaning what? So when you eat a kosher animal, you have to remove the gid hanasha, but when it comes to a non-kosher animal, you can't eat it at all. So the discussion is, what happens if somebody did eat a non-kosher animal? Are they violating two prohibitions? The prohibition of not eating kosher, because you're eating a treif animal, and also the prohibition of gid hanasha, or if gid hanasha doesn't apply to treif animals, that person is only violating one lav, eating treif, but not the prohibition of gid hanasha. So Mishnah Vav says as follows, no heg b'tahora, v'eino no heg b'tahemeya. This is the Tanakama. The Tanakama is of the view the prohibition of Gidanasha applies only when it comes to kosher animals, not when it comes to treif animals. So if somebody ate a treif animal, shuntav, he violates only one lav of eating treif, but not the lav of Gid Hanasha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af betameya, Rabbi Yehuda is of the view that the prohibition applies also to treif animals. So if somebody ate the thigh of a treif animal, he'd be violating not only the prohibition of eating treif, but also violating the prohibition of eating the Gid Hanasha. Now Rabbi Yehuda explains his rationale why it applies to treif animals as well. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'halom ibne Yaakov, neser Gid Hanasha, v'adayin behema tamea muteris lahen. Treif meat was only prohibited at Har Sinai. Har Sinai was way after when Yaakov Avinu got in his famous fight with the Sar Shal Esav, with the angel of Esav overnight, and that's when the Sar Shal Esav, that angel, hit him and handicapped Yaakov Avinu when hitting him on the thigh, and there is where the pasuk says, accordingly, Klal Yisrael is not permitted to eat the Gid Hanasha. So we have a situation, interestingly, that the Gid Hanasha was prohibited to Klal Yisrael all the way back before treif meat was prohibited to Klal Yisrael. So obviously then we didn't have the difference between kosher and treif meat at the time that the prohibition of Gid Hanasha was instituted and decreed. So accordingly, Rabbi Yehuda explains, so the prohibition of Gid Hanasha applies both to treif and non-treif animals because it applied to all animals at that time. We didn't have a distinction between kosher and non-kosher. Amru lo, however, the Tanakama, Chachamim respond back, it only applies to kosher animals, not to treif animals. Why? Amru lo b'Sinai nemar. That pasuk that says al kain, accordingly, that was stated that because of the incident with Yaakov Avinu and the angel, al kain lo yochlu ben Yisrael as Gid Hanasha, that we read at the beginning of this perek, that's the reason why we don't eat the Gid Hanasha. That pasuk was only said at Har Sinai, Ela Shenichta Bimkoma, but it was inserted when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sefer Torah. It was inserted back then when Yaakov Avinu had that incident in the Torah. So it's only when we add the prohibition of kosher animals, treif animals, when we add a distinction between kosher and treif, did the prohibition of the Gid Hanasha also come into being. So we had kosher animals, treif animals, we had the distinction, and also we had the prohibition of Gid Hanasha. It was instituted at Har Sinai altogether. And accordingly, we do have a distinction. Gid Hanasha applies only to kosher animals, not to non-kosher animals. And that pasuk that says it, referring back to Yaakov Avinu, was inserted at the time of Har Sinai. But that is indeed a refutation to Rabbi Yehuda's proof. And accordingly, according to Chachamim, the prohibition only exists for kosher animals and not treif animals.